it seemed appropriate as I was preparing it all week. I kept thinking about these young people going out and, you know, full of the Word of God and strong in the Lord at that certain stage of their lives. I've titled the sermon this morning, Steps and Stages of the Christian Life. And the text is found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I'm doing a study on 1 John. We've been working our way through there. So, reading in verse 12. He says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, and if you'll give me the liberty, even though he was just speaking to young men, young women, okay, in the Lord, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. If you've been with us in the last few weeks, we're talking about assurances and tests that the Apostle John gives people to encourage them that, in fact, they have had an experience with Jesus Christ, because certain things follow that. And he's also been talking to warn them about writing to them to warn them about false teachers who have infiltrated their ranks. And what they're bringing into their ranks is this idea of licentiousness, that they can just do whatever they want with their bodies, and it won't affect their spiritual life. And so he's had some harsh words, if you remember. He says that, you know, he says that, you know, he's walking with the Lord, yet walks in darkness, that they're liars. That's a pretty strong word. And he says that those that fail to love their brothers and sisters in the Lord, that they're still in the dark. They're walking in the dark. They don't even know what they're doing because they can't see the next step they're going to take. So he's had some very, very strong words to these people. And he said, you know, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, you're failing to keep the commandment of God. Okay, but John's not, I'm trying to get into his head a little bit here. Even when I was preaching that, I was afraid that maybe people would become discouraged, because we all look at ourselves and we say, oh my, we fall short in these areas. And so I think John, as a good pastoral individual, he interrupts this whole idea of warning them and coming down a little bit strong to give them a word of encouragement. He wants to encourage them. He's not doing this to increase their doubts, so to speak. He doesn't want them to doubt their salvation necessarily. He wants to strengthen them and assure them that, yeah, keep going. You're doing a good job. You know, so he makes six statements as we read here. And you notice the sort of the oddity about it, that he almost repeats himself, right? He makes six statements and he divides his readers into three groups: children, fathers, and young men and women. I'll use men and women. I don't want to keep talking about that, but I don't want to alienate anybody here. But fathers, children, and young men. And he addresses each group twice. And although he addresses all believers as his dear children, he wants to, I take this way, and most commentators do, and I did my homework on it. He is addressing believers at different steps and stages in their spiritual maturation process. You get that? In other words, don't think, I mean, we could go into a word study of, he uses a different word for children twice, you know, different times, different words when he talks about children. But basically, I feel, is that he's addressing people who are believers who have reached different stages in their spiritual life, okay? But as I was studying this, I think it's important to remember that these are truths about the Christian life that all of us can still partake in no matter what stage you're at. Okay? And I'll explain that a little bit better. But anyway, let's go ahead and just take dear children. He calls them dear children. He says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And then in verse 13, he adds another element to that, and that he talks about these little children because they have known the Father. So these people in the Christian walk have taken the first step and they've become children of God. They're newborns in Christ. And they got that way through faith in Christ, and they've been born again of His Spirit. So they are, in a very real sense, new creations. And remember that when you first got saved? Maybe some of you are there now. And you're still in the infancy stage of your spiritual walk with the Lord. Actually, it was a great time, wasn't it? Remember those first days when we were apprehended by Christ and the joy and this, the, you know, you just were walking around. I walked around and go, I can't believe, which is actually a dichotomy, because I did believe. I can't believe that Christ loved me so much that He'd come and die for my sins. I just, and actually that's never left me. But I remember I was astounded that He had put forth a plan, and He had sent His Son so that I could start over in life, that I could be a new creature in Christ. So these little children, they know that. That's what John says. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. Their sins have been put on Christ's account. Do you understand that? We talked about a couple weeks ago. My debt for my sins was laid on Him at the cross, and then He accredited to my account His righteousness. So I don't have to go and have to try to work to gain that anymore. I got this huge sum of righteousness that never runs dry. That when I repent and I confess my sins, even though it doesn't change my status, but it changed my fellowship with it, the blood of Christ is on my account, and it covers it all for the rest of my life. And I will remain forgiven. That's a one-time thing. I will remain forgiven. I'm not saying like the teachers that John was against, that you can go on and do whatever you want, but that in your account has this great sum of blood, let's say, that covers all the sins you will ever do when you repent, confess, and turn to Him. Okay? So little children know this, but they know something else. And if you remember when you first came to know Christ, He says, and because you have known the Father, literally, they have come to know God as their Father. Do you remember when you first realized that God was your Father? That you were adopted into His family? That you were related to Him now by blood forever? Just like I'm related to my father and my family by the blood of, you know, the natural blood. I'm always Edmagedic son. Now I am always a son, an adopted son of Jesus Christ. That's great encouragement, isn't it? They have come to know them as Father. And, you know, they don't, I want to say this just because there's so much misunderstanding about knowing God as God and knowing Him as His Father. Look at, they don't just have, we don't have just the knowledge that He's some great power. Right? Oh yeah, I know God. God created the earth, okay? Although that's becoming less and less, people are making that proclamation. Or I don't know God as some force. I don't know God like I know him. Maybe how I grew up in a broken family and my father wasn't around. I don't know this God as somebody who's opposing me, waiting for me to step out of line so he can zap me. I don't know God in that way. I know a God that keeps track of every hair on our heads. At any particular time, he knows how many hairs are on our head. That's a great time to talk a joke, but I'm not going to do it. But you know what it talks about. Right? Yeah. Oh, okay, it gets less and less, so he doesn't have as many. Okay, at any rate. But he delights for us to come to him in prayer. He knows what we need even before we ask him. And his watchful eyes are always upon me, and actually he delights in us. That's knowing God as a father. You know, we don't understand much at the beginning of the Christian life, theologically speaking. I mean, I really didn't know all the stuff that causes me great consternation and anguish, you know. Once saved, always saved, and you know, da-da-da-da, and da-da. All I knew that my sins had been forgiven on his account and that I'd come under his fatherly care. But you know, as we grow, and this is going to lead us into the young men and women, as we grow, there's things we have to take responsibility for, right? I mean, when at the beginning of the Christian life, we don't know much. We're like little children, right? We're safely nestled in the arms of our father or our parents. And we're dependent on him or they for survival. And they shield us from actively engaging in any activity because we can't fend for ourselves. But there comes a time where we start to grow up and he wants us to fend. Not for ourselves, because we can do nothing in and of ourselves, but he wants us to take responsibility for his kingdom. He wants us to take responsibility to be overcomers for sin in our life. He starts to mature us. And we enter this stage that I think that what John is saying, that we become really busily involved in the battle of Christian living. And I thought about these young people going over to a foreign country. I mean, not only are they young in vigor, but they're just enthralled with the idea that they're making a difference in the kingdom of God. It's wonderful. I still feel that way. Do you? Invigorated with the possibility that today the Lord may bring someone in my path, that I might be able to explain the gospel to them, and that they may come to know Christ as their Savior. Man, that's living. That's really living. He says to these young men, I write to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. And then he adds in verse 14, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. And then he adds one more time that you have overcome the evil one. In other words, their life has become a conquest when it comes to sin in their life and coming up against the evil that's in our world. Wherever they find Satan, it doesn't come overnight, but they're starting to fight the battles and they realize that they already have the victory. Just like Carmelita said, I prayed, but I don't know that I really believed that God was going to do something. But when all the things were stripped away, her environment and everything, she saw people that said, the only thing I got to rely on is prayer, and I believe God's going to answer it. That'll stay with her the whole life. She'll remember that experience. Thank God we sent her there. Because you know how important that is to have somebody who prays in faith, believing? Wow. Sometimes I don't pray in faith, believing, right? I pray, I'm not sure it's going to happen. Because, you know, I'm theologically sound now. I know that God's sovereign, and so I put a little disclaimer at the end of it in case, you know, I don't make them look bad. No, I mean, you know what we get into. Just let it be, man. Pray it. Don't worry about it. Pray believing that what you ask, you shall get, because it's in line with His purposes and plans to continue to expand His kingdom, which means people are going to come to know Christ. That's the first thing He says about these, that they're strong. They're strong because not physically strong, although there's an element of that. They're strong because the Word of God lives in them. It's just not head knowledge. It's become part of their life. They eat, breathe, sleep, think, find their pleasure in performing the Word of God. The Word of God brings new life to us, as Peter says in his epistle. He says in verse chapter 1, 23, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." You've been born again of the Word of God, and the Word of God is bubbling out of you like streams of living water. You just can't wait to get in a conversation that you might be able to say something by the Spirit's prompting of the Word of God that you know now that will enrich their lives. There's no greater joy in life to sense Christ working in and through you. It says they have overcome the evil one. He says that twice. That's a big deal. Because positionally, we have the victory. But experientially, He wants us to grow up and take the victory. Right? Wherever, you know, I remember last week I preached about, I told you, it astounded me what John said. He said the darkness is already passing. And the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. And I told you in my studies, I'm like, wait a second, I thought the world was getting darker and darker. And it is in some ways, but from His perspective, the light of the world has dawned. The darkness, this darkness is passing. The true light is already shining in Him and in us, and everywhere we go. If we bring light, the darkness has to flee. I mean, that may mean they just walk away from you. But whatever it is, we have the victory already. You have overcome the evil one. You've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the light of Christ. This is wonderful stuff. I want to go out. Let's just stop and let's go out and preach on the roads. Last people He writes to is, he mentions, actually it's the second, but I'm using it as the last. Verse 13 and 14, He says, "I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning." And you noticed, right? He says the same thing twice. He says the same thing twice. Well, let me get to that. He says the same things twice. And His statements are similar to what He talks to the little children, too, in verse 14. But He adds one thing about that this idea that even little children know the Father, but that old men know the Father. He says, Him who is from the beginning. That's the little nuanced difference. He says, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. And when I hear beginning, what do you think of? You think of Genesis, right? You think of this timeless, eternal faithful God who never changes like human beings do. It paints the picture in my mind that these fathers have reached a stage in their lives where they know God's faithfulness. They've tried it. They've tested it. They know He's going to be faithful. And you know people who've walked with the Lord for many years. I remember when I was a young man, I would think, well, why aren't they as excited as I am about it? Right? But they had reached a stage. They're excited. They knew all the earlier steps. But they just knew. You just get to the point where you know God is going to take care of things. And they're wonderful to be around. And they should still be encouraging and engaging in the kingdom of God. But there's a certain thing about them. They become almost like spiritually mature, right? The fathers. Paul said, you know, you got many teachers, but I came a father to you through the gospel. And John's an aged man by now. And he may be implying that some of these people that he's writing to, maybe they knew Christ from the beginning even, when he walked the earth. But I think he was even farther back. The eternal God, they've come to know him that way. He doesn't change, as James says, like shifting shadows. He's always there and faithful, tried, tested and true from our aspect, not from his. So what have we seen today? I call them steps and stages in the Christian life. But whatever stage you're in, all these apply to you. Because look it, it's a special encouragement to me that I have been forgiven and that I will always be forgiven. That doesn't mean I don't need to repent and confess my sins, but my relationship with Him is secure in Christ because of what He did on the cross. I have learned to overcome the evil one. And I didn't mention it much, but practically speaking, overcoming the evil one is overcoming the sins that so easily beset us, that trip us up. It's not just fighting spiritual warfare without. It's fighting that battle within. Amen. Learning to say no to ungodliness. Learning to get the victory. I was reminded yesterday at one point, I was bemoaning and I don't know what was going on, but I said, this is no way for a Christian to act. No one was around, but even I monitored myself. I said, you should be a lot more mature than that, Bob. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You do the same thing. And you know what? We all can be made strong in the Word of God. That's our strength. It's not, you know, the God, Christ in us. The Word of God made flesh. The Word that we became born again with. The Word that we've hidden in our heart. The Word that we give out to those that we come in contact. We know we are strong. We have the victory. We've overcome the evil one. And we actually know Him who is from the beginning. We all do. But there's certain times in our lives where there's the emphasis is more on that. Do you see that? The young children, the young men and women, the fathers in the faith. And we have a nice cross-section of that. We lost a couple fathers in the faith, did we not, this year? But, praise God, we're going to step up to the plate, right? And we're going to continue to preach the gospel. Love the world of people, not the world system. And we're going to see the kingdom of God expand. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and close.